Lee, I don't know how all this ends. I mean, I'm just listening to your news.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Democrats suing to get access to their criminals and gangbangers.
Yeah.
Who are their most valued voters. They care about them more than anybody else. Clearly, I mean, you could tell that from just watching what the Democrats do. But here is, and I want to remind people, this is Senator Chris Murphy. And he's on MSNBC, and they're very angry, the host of MSNBC, that not enough is being done for these illegals. And Chris Murphy, Democrat senator, U.S. senator, flat out says, Democrats care more about illegals than anybody else. And so they're not hiding this. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I have the button turned on. Here we go.
So you are right that that has been the Democratic strategy for 30 years, maybe. And it has failed to deliver for the people we care about most, the undocumented Americans that are in this country. This is also not 2013 any longer when
he flat out says it. I mean, just says they're not hiding it. Mm-hmm. We come second to whatever criminal flavor of the week that ICE has picked up. Right. Well, I'd wondered if this has happened. There's this undertone in the Democrat Party now of, you know, because Trump is going after these criminals, they start to love the criminals. Just because if Trump doesn't like them, then they love them. Like to the point where they just tolerated criminals before because they're Democrats. But now there's this, you know, celebration seeing them as these great folk heroes of violence, fellow fighters.
Right.
And it showed up in the Harvard-Harris survey. I meant to make more of this yesterday. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Okay. When asked, do you oppose localities, cities, whatever, blocking the deportation of convicted criminal illegal aliens? Convicted criminal, and it was very clear, not those convicted on immigration charges. No, no, no. Like crimes, real, actual crimes. 48% of Democrats supported sanctuary cities. 48% of Democrats said, we oppose ICE picking up these criminals. Now, that's not a majority, but it almost is.
Yeah.
48%. That's across the country, by the way. So you go to a place like California, New York, I mean, you're probably going to get majorities of Democrats. Like, no, we don't care. Violent criminals, just let them go. Let them out on the street. Oppose blocking the deportation of convicted criminals was the question. So you end up getting 48%. Saying, yeah, I oppose the deportation. I want to keep them here.
So I guess the converse of that is, are you in favor of American citizens being victims of crimes by people who are in the country illegally and already convicted of other crimes?
And they'll probably tell you no in majority numbers because they don't live in reality. They don't connect the dots. I mean, they're not very self-aware people, least self-aware people on the planet. So Democrats want this. They want them out. They want them walking the streets. They want to be with them. They want to celebrate them. This is who they are. And that is really scary, given this other Rasmussen poll this week, where party favorability, not Trump, but just Republicans versus Democrats, has pulled even.
No.
The public has an even perception of both parties. Now, there's other polls showing the opposite, so that's still good. But what does that mean? They can still get in power. They could. And I mean, if you are at a majority view or near majority view or even just half of your party that's like, hey, no, I want to protect that criminal illegal immigrant. I think he should roam the streets. We're going to lose territory in this country to violent gangsters, especially when you have people like Johan, you know, Mancami, and he's, you know, wants to defund the police. He now says he doesn't, but he's lying. He wants to defund the police. I mean, police on a, you know, kept on a leash, illegals allowed to run free. We're going to see things in this country. We're going to have no-go zones in this country that used to be Democrat cities where people have fled in huge numbers. We've had more than 2 million people leave New York since 2012. That just came out.
Yeah.
So you're going to have normal Americans who Democrats do not prioritize fleeing, and it's going to be just an influx of cartels of increasingly violent people from all over the world. And I don't know how we fight this except continue to expose them and hope for sanity. But it's not here. This is spreading, and it's not good.
And you have Democrats admitting in public
mm-hmm.
that yes, we want illegal immigrants in here so that we can beef up the numbers when we do redistricting. Of course, it's called gerrymandering when Republicans do it, but it's redistricting when Democrats do it.
Oh, yeah. By the way, there's a big push for that now. Trump is not messing around. He wants to by the way, I didn't realize this. You know, the Constitution says you have to do the census every 10 years? I didn't realize you could do it more than 10 years.
Yes.
But you can.
Yes.
So he wants to redo the census. And Ron DeSantis did a press conference on this yesterday saying we need to do this without counting the illegals. And DeSantis was talking about, he said, we'll probably pick up half a dozen House seats just in California alone.
Well, I have no problem counting illegal immigrants that are in this country. I mean, because we do need to know.
Right.
The problem is they should not be counted in the tally when it comes time for figuring out congressional districting, because they should not vote. And of course, in a federal law, they can't. But of course, we've got municipalities and some counties and states that are trying to push to allow illegal immigrants to vote, saying that they have a vested interest in it. Well, it's like, okay, then become a citizen and be a part of it.
And this is why they want the criminals on the street, so they can be counted.
Right.
By the way, the good news here is 69% of independents are like, no, we should deport criminal illegal aliens. Mm-hmm. So it's only Democrats. It's the plurality of Democrats, 48%, still want them to leave. And to even if you commit crimes, you can't be deported. You just walk around the streets. And what they're saying is, we will treat you like an American. If an American commits a crime, pretty much short of murder, you can bond out. And we're just going to consider you an American and let you bond out, even if you've come here to commit crime. That's okay. And the problem with that is, Lee, you know, you're always, American society, you're always going to have a certain percentage of criminals, and there are a certain percentage of criminals going to be bonded out awaiting trial, right? Mm-hmm. But when you have these policies and you hide them in sanctuary cities, you're going to attract the criminal element the world over to come here, who otherwise would not have.
Right.
And so you're going to have massive influx of herds of criminals, as we did under the Democrats.
Well, yeah, exactly. We had the perfect example of that with the Biden administration and their border policy.
Yes. And you end up with a situation, and I didn't do enough on this yesterday either. I can't believe I only did it one time. Shame on me. I'm going to do this over the next couple of days again and again and again, because people need to hear this number, because it is so astonishing. What just happened in Houston? ICE just put out its numbers for the first 6 months, just Houston, Texas, the first 6 months of the year, 215 child sex offenders. They've either got pending charges for sex offending, and many of them have convictions for sex offense. 215 just in Houston illegal immigrants. They picked them up in the last 6 months. Can you imagine how many are in Texas? Why are they coming here? There is a magnet here for some reason that was created by the Democrats. And one of these, this guy, listen to this. This is from townhall.com from ICE. This illegal alien had been committing violent crimes in the U.S. for nearly 15 years. He is a convicted child sex offender who has a rap sheet that includes an arrest for domestic assault and multiple driving offenses under Governor Tim Walz, Minnesota. This sicko was living in Minnesota without consequence. Instead of comparing ICE law enforcement to Gestapo, Governor Walz should be thanking our brave law enforcement for arresting these violent criminals. The reason he's in the news is because they caught him in Texas, but he had been let out in Minnesota. So it shows that they move around and whatever. Houston is a sanctuary city. Well, here's the thing. Think about this a minute. Okay, these aren't even just rapists, Lee. Okay, these are child sex offenders. They're not even counting, like, you know, you're a creepy rapist wacko, illegal immigrant, let in by Joe Biden. These just the child sex offenders, 215 caught and rounded up by ICE in Houston in just the last 6 months.
Of course, the next question is, how many of them are still out there?
Oh, a ton, I'm sure. That's just what they caught. They don't want to be caught. They're on the run. How many of them are in the upstate?
Yeah,
I'm sure there's some. It's a shame our highway patrol is not hunting them. It's a shame they pull one of them over. They got to let them go. Thank you, Henry McMaster. It's what he wants. We could be like Florida. You're in Florida. You're an illegal. You don't even dare to get in a car anymore because they pull you, man. You're going back where you came from because they're all deputized as federal immigration officers. But we're not, because Henry won't do it. And folks, understand, there's 105,000 illegal immigrants in this state, South Carolina, according to Center for Immigration Studies, and 35% of them have criminal records. And just driving around, doing what they want, driving drunk, shooting people up. Some of them, I'm sure, are good people. Some of them are rapists, though. Some of them are child sex offenders. So, by the way, in the governor's campaign so far, Nancy Mace and Ellen Wilson have committed to building an alligator Alcatraz here and deputizing all state law enforcement as federal agents, as Trump asked back in February. So that's good. Hopefully we'll get Pam Evett on soon. I'm negotiating to have her on the show and we'll see what she thinks. Yeah, economic arsonist Jerome Powell has decided not to raise interest rates because anything to hurt the Trump economy and to help Democrats win in the midterms. Now, we'd give him a break on that if he that had always been his consistent position, but inflation was much higher than it is now when he was cool with more spending. It was at 4%. He said it was just transitory, not to worry about it. It went to 9% because Joe kept printing. And then when Her Highness needed an interest rate cut to help her win the presidency, he was more than happy to provide it. No worry about inflation then. But suddenly he is now. Yeah, because he's an economic arsonist. He is. Okay. Megyn Kelly just killing it on her podcast, making a point. Look, our side has done a horrible job of covering what Tulsi Gabbard has uncovered. And one of the big parts they're missing, there's two parts to Russia collusion hoax. One part is Russia wanted Trump to win and Trump colluded with Russia to get elected. And of course they did all these things. We don't know what they did online. They helped him get elected, which of course they did not do. And we have the receipts from that now. We found them, by the way, in burn bags. Hidden in a skiff. Somebody told Kash Patel where they were hidden inside the FBI. They found them in burn bags. The actual intel, which was the opposite of the Russia collusion hoax intel we were told. Okay. Well, Megyn Kelly had liberal journalist Aaron Mate on her podcast to talk about, hey, listen, almost nobody is talking about the fact that the other part of the Russia collusion hoax, where Russia hacked the DNC server to get damaging info on Hillary and the Democrats and then leaked it, didn't actually happen. That was in there too. And our side has basically not covered it.
This sort of group mania allowed for this to be pervasive. And even now, when evidence comes out showing that the intelligence wasn't there to support it, has any mainstream outlet reported on this? Have they reported that the NSA and the FBI had low confidence in the Russia hacking leak allegation?
No.
Has anyone ever
reported? They're ignoring all of this.
It's unlike anything I've ever seen, the level of media subservience to this narrative. And also, everyone also was convinced that there was a conspiracy between Trump and Russia, too. I mean, try to challenge that on one of these network shows, and it was very, very difficult. In fact, they didn't even allow on guests who would challenge that narrative. It's just this was the talking point. And even though there's no one, like, we don't live in a totalitarian society, there's no official telling people what to say, but everybody just intuited that this was the narrative to go with. This was the way to respond to Trump.
Oh, it's still being said on Fox News. I'm convinced the host did not actually read what she released. Here's some more Aaron Mate. What makes him so powerful is he'll tell you, I'm not a Trump supporter, but he doesn't support lying by the intel agencies. He makes the fascinating point. He said, listen, this crew that lied to you, Brennan, Clapper, a lot of them were behind the lies that got us into the Iraq war.
And think about it. This makes sense. At the same time as the Clinton campaign was framing Trump as a Russian asset, they were also hiring a firm, CrowdStrike, which first accused Russia of hacking the DNC. And when the FBI went to CrowdStrike and said, can we investigate the DNC servers for ourselves? CrowdStrike said no. And for some reason, the FBI agreed to that. This would be as if, you know, I accused someone of robbing my house. And then when the police came, I said, yeah, I think that person did it, but you can't investigate yourself. You have to rely on my own internal investigation. But that's
okay,
what
happened.
Okay,
now wait, let me.
Yeah, that's the ridiculousness of it. He lays out what actually happened. And folks, I got to admit, I'm a pretty thorough researcher, as you know, listening to this show. I didn't catch this. I didn't catch this. The intel that she released, that now we now know Kash Patel found in burn bags hidden in a skiff, again shows what they knew. Russia did not hack that DNC computer. They never examined the computer. They wouldn't let the FBI do it. And that's why it had a low confidence rating that that was true. And they turned around in the public side of the reports, the ones they leaked, and said they had high confidence that Russia had hacked the computer to help Trump. I mean, this is incredible stuff.
That's not all that was nonsense. The Russia interfered in the election piece also turns out to be almost entirely bull, including the piece we all accepted, which was that they hacked those DNC emails. They were responsible for hacking the DNC emails, and that later got posted on WikiLeaks. So do I accurately state like the overview as to where we are now?
Yes. And the intelligence that has just been declassified by Tulsi Gabbard gives us some really important new information on the latter piece that you mentioned. The core allegation at the heart of Russiagate, even before collusion became a public thing, it was that Russia hacked the DNC and gave the emails to WikiLeaks. That basically broke out in June 2016, followed by the release of the WikiLeaks emails in July 2016. And at that point, the Clinton campaign, through its contractor CrowdStrike, was the first entity to say that the Russians did it. And a lot of people in the media just ran with it because that's what they were saying. And for some reason, if you accuse a foreign actor of something, then we just have to take it on faith. That's sort of an established playbook going back to, you know, the Iraq War and many other similar propaganda campaigns. And then the intelligence community assessment that you talked about that was released in January, that formally endorsed that, said with high confidence, Russia hacked the DNC, gave the emails to WikiLeaks. And along with collusion, that Russian email hacking allegation was the core plank of Russiagate. Now, we all know by now that collusion was a complete scam, laundered through the Clinton campaign, through Christopher Steele. Nobody, even in corporate media that was all about it, even defends that anymore. Even Adam Schiff, I think, has stopped defending the collusion allegation, even though he was claiming for years he had seen secret evidence of it. But as you said, they have clung to the Russian email hacking allegation. And what we get now from Tulsi Gabbard's declassification is that in September of 2016, less than 2 months before the election, the FBI and the NSA, which are the two premier intelligence agencies that would be able to investigate this hack and leak allegation, the FBI taking the lead in investigating the hacking of the DNC. And the NSA is, we all know, like the premier surveillance agency in the world. They can see anything that comes in and out over cyber warfare. So they'd be in the best position to assess whether or not Russia hacked the DNC and gave the emails to WikiLeaks. And what they said, and we're only learning this now, nearly 9 years later, is that they had low confidence in the Russia hack and leak allegation. That was suppressed. Instead of the public hearing about that, the Obama administration put out a report through Clapper, who was then heading the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and Jay Johnson, who was heading Department of Homeland Security, on October 7th. And they said, in the name of the intelligence community, they have high confidence that Russia was behind the hacking of the DNC, suppressing what the FBI and the NSA had said. And that remains the same after the election. There was another assessment circulated that we learned about through Tulsi Gabbard that said the picture of the attribution of doubting the attribution of Russia had not changed at all. And the reason was, as the FBI and the NSA said, we didn't have the technical evidence for it. And that was the point that people like myself had been making, is like, yes, intelligence officials were telling us Russia did it, but where's the evidence? We were never told it. And now we know the reason why is because they had none.
Because they had none. That's incredible. That's incredible. And yet they leaked lies to the media. That's what drove this. And the result was this.
Russia hacking the election to elect Trump is the end of our democracy. Votes were definitely affected. Russia hacked the election to tilt it to Mr. Trump.
The Russians definitively hacked the election.
Russia did hack the election.
No doubt. The Russians hacked the election.
Yes, Russia hacked the election.
Fact, Russia hacked the election.
President-elect Donald Trump still not sounding convinced that Russia hacked the election.
If you can get him to accept that Russia hacked the election, see if you can get him to accept who won the Civil War.
The Director of National Intelligence, the head of the National Security Agency, the head of the FBI, all of these intelligence experts saying Russia hacked the election.
The FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, I mean, they've all said this. So to believe that that's wrong, you have to believe they're all involved in an elaborate conspiracy to get Donald Trump.
They were. What you can't see from the montage there is like the CNN Chiron. Donald Trump refuses to admit that Russia hacked the DNC server. because they didn't. Folks, unbelievable. By the way, as we reported earlier on the show, great roundup by Newsbusters. They are blacking this out. Just blacking a story out. That burn bag story from yesterday where Kash Patel was given the keys and told about the existence of a secret room where a lot of the real Russia intel was, in other words, showing that everything they said to us was a lie, pretty much, in burn bags. I don't know why it wasn't burned, but it wasn't. Access that story completely blacked out by ABC, CBS, NBC, Univision, and Telemundo. So your dumb liberal sheeple friends just got a little dumber. If you bring this up to them, they will have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, the Democrats' new big scandal is they've got him. They've got Trump on Epstein. And by the way, they have their sheeple really believing this. They need some kind of cover so they won't notice that the Russia collusion hoax is being shown to be a lie. Because if their sheeple ever understood how they were lied to, manipulated, and used in the Russia collusion hoax, they might abandon them. So they have to distract them with something, and Epstein's the way they're doing it. So what they're doing is digging into their own reporting archives, dredging stuff back up, and then pretending like it's new. It's a pretty brilliant ruse, actually. And this was a bombshell. Donald Trump saying this.
And by the way, I never went to the island, and Bill Clinton went there supposedly 28 times. I never went to the island, but Larry Summers, I hear, went there. He was the head of Harvard. And many other people that are very big people, nobody ever talks about them. I never had the privilege of going to his island. And I did turn it down, but a lot of people in Palm Beach were invited to his island. In one of my very good moments, I turned it down. I didn't want to go to his island. Yeah.
Okay. He goes on to mention, yeah, we broke up. You know, our friendship ended. By the way, this happened the year before he bought Epstein Island. Just so we're clear, but whatever. Our friendship ended, he said, because he was poaching employees for me. One of them was Virginia Goffrey, who's a very famous face. You see her in that picture, most famous of Epstein's victims, because she sued Prince Andrew, and she appears in a picture with him, and it's just a mess. And Ghislaine Maxwell, right? So Trump admits the other day, he says, this is the way they're reporting, that he admits, finally comes in and admits Virginia Goffrey worked for him. And they say, bombshell, we're tying to Trump, to Epstein and Guthrie. We've got their names together in headlines, blah, blah, blah. They're acting like something's new. So the left's all swirled up. And yesterday, Virginia Guthrie was trending because Trump had finally admitted that he had employed her and Jeffrey Epstein had stolen her. It's not. It dates back to 2016. When she was suing Ghislaine Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell was suing her. Ultimately, she would win a payout long term, but they put her on the stand, Virginia Guthrie. And they asked her about a lot of people who were friendly with Epstein, who hung around in those circles. Now, here's the part the media won't tell you. Number one, this first came out in 2016. Number two, she was grilled on the stand in 2016 and 2019, not only about her relationship with Trump and whether he was a John, was a pedophile, but also what she saw of Trump and Epstein together. They will not tell you any of that. Here's from the transcript that you will not find in any of their lying stories. She's asked, what is the basis for your statement that Donald Trump's a good friend of Jeffrey's? Jeffrey told me Donald Trump's a good friend of his. Have you observed them together? No, not off the top of my head. No. When did Donald Trump flirt with you? He didn't. That's what's inaccurate. Did you ever see Donald Trump at Jeffrey's home? Not that I can remember. On his island? No. Not that I can remember. In New Mexico? He's had a ranch there. No, not that I can remember. In New York? He had a condo there where girls were prostituted. No, not that I can remember. This is all right if you turn to the next page and read through. That was it. They are not including any of that. So their new bombshell is, aha, we've linked him to Virginia Guthrie. No, she linked herself to him in 2016. In fact, she worked for him, has been out there forever. But this is what they're doing. This is a game, and this is how they're playing it. But folks, I want to prepare you for something, okay? Because I'm going to be doing this story. I don't know what timeline of it is, but it's going to happen. Trump is going to have to pardon Ghislaine Maxwell. Our site is going to hate it. It's probably going to cost him a couple points of approval. No one will understand. She's got him over a barrel. It doesn't happen to Trump often. Maybe he'll find a way out of it, but she does. She's got him over a barrel. Because August 11th, she's supposed to testify before Congress. She is one of them. She is a globalist. She is not a friend of his. She's a friend of theirs. And I guarantee they're trying to get to her right now any way they can. And if that woman puts her hand up and says, Donald Trump was a John, he was a pedophile, he slept with a 14-year-old, it won't matter that she was indicted for lying to the FBI and the DOJ. She's actually criminally charged. That won't matter. She's an inveterate liar. It won't matter. She has no credibility. She will destroy him. And by that, I mean his credibility. It's going to cost him. It's going to cost him in you know, ratings. And that's going to let the Republican leadership really go back on a reign of terror and not listen to him anymore. The reason that he has so much power right now and can actually get what little done that they let him do is because he's over 50% and they're at about 19-20 in approval. If he dips back down to where he is in approval, he was in approval ratings his last presidency, anywhere from 38 to 42, it's over. So what do you do? Well, she's made very clear what she wants. It's very obvious. She said it to Trump, but she said it generally. I mean, she's got one appeal left at the Supreme Court. She's not likely to win that. She's facing 20 years. She's 63 years old. She doesn't want to die in prison. She wants to get out. And the only way I can see that he can guarantee she will not lie to Congress is to guarantee her a pardon. But it doesn't take place until after the testimony. She goes out there, makes something up, no pardon. Spend the rest of your life in prison, die there. But she's absolutely got the upper hand. There's no way around it. So you're going to see some sort of deal cut between the Trump DOJ and her that gets, you know, years off her sentence or something like that. Or you're going to see him pardon her. And it's going to hurt. It's going to be ugly. And people will say, why? And it's coming. There's no way out of this that I can see. Now, I would love to be wrong on this. Maybe I am. Maybe there is something they have thought of that I have not. But that is why Trump sent his personal attorney, who's now the number two at the DOJ, in to interview her under oath. And he made clear if she lies, we could prosecute her. We'll add more years. Why do they want to get her under oath? Why did he interview her last week? They want to get her on the record what her story is so that if she goes to Congress and changes it, they can get her on perjury. They're building a nice little wall around her to keep her from lying and ruining Trump. But again, she's got the upper hand. She wants to get out of prison. He's probably going to have to give it to her. And I just want to prepare you for that. Again, I don't think Trump did anything. If he did, they'd have gotten him. In fact, if she had any evidence he did anything, they'd have gotten him. Because believe me, they've already tried that. They would have used this. They don't have anything, but this is their best shot. And when he pardons her, they're going to say, oh, she lied to protect him to get the pardon. They're going to say all of that. And that is what the media is building up to now. So I wanted you to understand what's going down and the fact that Trump is boxed in and this thing not only ain't over, it's going to get uglier. The more that we're finding out about this tariff deal that Trump cut with the EU, the better and better that it gets and it seems. And look, the French prime minister is not wrong to call this it's total capitulation of Europe to America. He called it, he said it's a dark day when an alliance of free peoples gathered to affirm their values and defend their interests resolves to submission. They mean submission to Trump. But when you look at this trade deal, this is going to be billions and billions and billions of dollars for the U.S., it's so smart. On energy, the Russians are effectively shut out of the European markets. $750 billion a year in energy purchases from us, guaranteed. Or their tariff rate doubles. It goes from 15 to 30. The Russians are effectively shut out of the European market, but jobs will be created in Europe at terminal operations, transportation, refining of the energy. We will sell them now. Automobiles, U.S. will reduce tariffs from 25% to 15%. Discussions are still underway to harmonize U.S. and EU standards for autonomous vehicles. All tariffs on aircraft parts are lifted, helping Boeing and Airbus. So we can sell into Europe with no tariffs. Technology, EU chip making equipment has 0% tariffs. So the EU will import high-end U.S. chips with no tariff. That'll go a long way toward making the EU permanently dependent on U.S. products, and particularly the chips that operate everything now. Digital regulation, not covered yet. They cannot be putting people like Elon Musk in prison, as France is trying to do right now, and shut down X. But they're still negotiating over that part of it. Let's see what else. Food negotiations still underway. U.S. pushing for zero tariffs both ways on food. And the EU is more inclined to allow U.S. foods that do not compete with EU growers to enter without tariffs. It's too soon to say how that falls out. Just really great stuff here. And just the thing I'm most excited about is creating energy markets while furiously opening, drilling, and permitting, and speeding up and putting that process at warp speed. Just the most exciting thing I've seen in a very long time. All right, let's jump on over to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Texture rates, your station was fading, now can't hear you anymore. I have this problem every now and then. No, we actually are having a trouble with our tower. It's been over the last 3 days. We apologize. It's a great time to check out our stream on the Audacy app. You can download it, AUDACY. You can also stream on your computer. You go to 989WORD.com, and in the right-hand corner, there's a button you can click to listen live. And you can listen there. Texture rates, Tira. Maxwell doesn't have an upper hand or anything on Trump. I'll bet money on it. A lot of money. All she's got to do is lie. She's already done that under oath. In fact, she was criminally charged for it. And she knows it. And they know she could do it. Texture rates, Maxwell has a snowball's chance in hell of screwing Trump up. No, she doesn't. I mean, she comes out and says he was a pedophile. It'll never end. It'll never end. It's going to cause all kinds of problems. And the idea is she just won't, because she wants to be nice and spend the next 20 years in prison. That's just not going to happen. Nobody operates that way. That's why they made a beeline to get her under oath. I mean, that just, wow. As soon as Congress realized the Democrats were going to be able to force her testimony, I mean, the Trump people just beat a path to her door. And they should. That's what they should do. Texture rates. I have 100% confidence in every unsubstantiated claim of Adam Schiff. No questions. Yes, you must be a member of the mainstream media. Welcome to the show.